Before the lesson this morning, I do want to share with you something from the bulletin today. I hope you noticed that a new program is starting the second Sunday in February, where we're going to be passing out bread to people in the community who drop by on a Sunday afternoon and would like some. I know it sounds like a simple process, and it is a simple process. And several people have already said to me, "But what about?" It's kind of like the five loaves and the two fishes. It's a place to begin, and we'll see what God does with it. You're welcome to bring bread if you want to bring a little bit. If you want to bake some, we're not asking you to bake bread because there'll probably be a lot of it given away. You may want your children to get involved with. Helping in this process. There's just all kinds of positive ways that that you can be involved. And really, it's just about seeing how God wants to go with this. And this is an opportunity for us to interact and help, and we'll take it from there. I want you to know that my wife is not here this morning. She fell on Friday, and she looks like she went a couple of rounds with Rocky Balboa. She has the classic cut over the eye and very, very large, swollen face and bad black eye. She will be here Wednesday night, so please don't laugh at her when you see her. And that's why I'm warning you now that it could get crazy. The picture that I want to show you, if you've seen the movie Hacksaw Ridge, you know this fella. His name is Desmond Doss. Doss was a conscientious objector in World War II, refused to carry any weapon at all, wouldn't even carry a sidearm, and the movie shows with you a lot about the ridicule that he experienced and people who felt unsafe even having him around. But then in the Battle of Okinawa at a place called Hacksaw Ridge, he was personally responsible for rescuing 75 American soldiers. Spent an entire night basically alone, one at a time, rescuing these guys and then helping them to be lowered down to a place where they could provide safety for them. He received the Medal of Honor, the only conscientious objector in World War II to receive the Medal of Honor. He went to war married to his high school sweetheart, Dorothy. They were married for 49 years. Before she passed away, and then he remarried and was married a second time. When I think of this man, there's two words that come to my mind, strong and courageous. I mean, this guy is a strong man, and certainly an incredibly courageous individual. Last week we talked about do not be afraid. Well, what follows not being afraid? Well, in that sequence, it's quite easily, well, be strong and courageous. Now, fear, strength, courage. In our world, we have a tendency to define those things with some kind of emotion. The Bible doesn't talk about those things in the context of emotion. It talks about them from a behavioral standpoint, an action standpoint. So it doesn't mean that you never experience fear. It means that you conquer fear. It doesn't mean that you're measured by a particular feeling of being strong or having a particular inventory that causes you to be strong or to always feel courageous. It's talking about acting in a courageous fashion. Whenever I think of being strong and courageous, and probably you're exactly ahead of me, everybody I've talked to in the last few days has said, are you going to talk about Joshua? Well, you have to go to Joshua chapter 1, and where four times in that first chapter, Joshua hears the message, be strong and courageous. And if you look carefully at your Bible, you'll notice that just a few chapters earlier, in Deuteronomy chapter 31, three times there, the message comes from God, be strong and courageous. You think God's making a point with Joshua? Now, I don't really understand why Joshua has been selected to have this really imprinted on him. But certainly there's a reason that God is saying that. Look at the last one. It's Joshua 1, verses 16 through 18. It says, then they answered Joshua. This is the crowd, the people of Israel. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Now, I think Joshua was probably getting scared at that point. Just like we always did what Moses wanted us to do. That's what, okay. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. This is the crowd. Now, who makes up this crowd? These are the people who have survived the wandering in the wilderness, where an entire generation has died by the wayside. For what reason? Because they weren't strong and they certainly weren't courageous. There were two people who were. If you had had Medicare at that point in time in Israel, you wouldn't have had to have a big bureaucracy because it only applied to two people. Joshua and Caleb. Those were the only two guys that were past 60. Everybody else was in a whole different generation. And I don't know about you, but it would have frustrated me a little bit for those people to say, be strong and courageous. Why are you telling me that? I'm the one guy that was. And you're the people who aren't. And yet it seems like Joshua handles that in a very strong way. Although, Joshua messes up. After they take down Jericho, you know that Achan stole some gold. The next battle is the city of Ai. Ai is so small that Joshua doesn't get the whole army out. He just says, just take a few down there and go take care of Ai. And they're defeated at Ai. And if you look at Joshua chapter 7, you'll see that Joshua is discouraged. He's tearing his clothes. He's tearing his garments. He and some of the other leaders are putting dust on their head. They're very, very unhappy and they're frustrated. Because they failed. So much so that Joshua is saying, now the other nations are going to see us and they're going to come and destroy us. Oh, woe is me, woe is us. In 9, verse 14, Joshua chapter 9, verse 14. Remember the Gibeonites come over? And the Gibeonites pretend to be from a long way away. And they sign a treaty with Joshua and the Israelites. Actually, they're neighbors. They're some of the people who were supposed to be destroyed in the conquest of the land. And the whole problem is explained to us quite simply. The Israelites sampled their provisions. The bread was moldy. The wineskins were old. Israel looks at all their stuff and says, yeah, these guys came from a long way away. But they failed to do something. They didn't inquire God. They didn't pray about it. They didn't ask for God's help or intervention in any shape, form, or fashion. And so Joshua is misled in this situation. This guy isn't perfect. And isn't that good news? I read about places where folks are critical, in critical interpretation of Scripture about all of the failures. You know, why would the Bible tell us about all the failures? Well, it's very, very comforting to know and to hear and to understand about all of that, those different kinds of failings. But what does it mean to be strong and courageous? Well, it means you lead a nation. It means that you stand up in battle. It means that you're at the point, that you're at the front, that you're this incredible person that everybody's going to follow. Does it really mean that? Can you be strong and courageous in smaller contexts than those? I've seen grade school children. Did you do that? Yes. It took courage to say that. There are small children who can turn the tide of what's taking place by saying, no, we shouldn't. And other people are impressed by that. I know a young man. I've shared this with you before. He was in his late 20s, early 30s, had not been married. Was with a group of friends, non-Christian friends, one night, and they were talking about their sexual exploits. He said nothing. Finally, one person said, well, tell us about your experiences there. You're not saying anything. And the guy said, I live by a different standard than you guys. What courage, what strength to say that. If you were going to church today in the nation of China, there would be people who would be trying to interfere with that because it would be, in many, many situations, against the law. Well, when is the law violated? When you show up for church? Not necessarily, because you could always claim you were just visiting, you were just listening, you were just kind of seeing what was going on, not really taking part. But every Sunday, they do what we do. They take the Lord's Supper. And that's the moment. When you take that emblem and when you consume it, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You're honoring Jesus Christ. You're declaring that you belong to him. And this morning, did anybody in here think, boy, I must be strong to be able to take this communion? This is awfully courageous to participate. We don't think that way because we live in a place where that's not the situation. But there are Christians in China and in other parts of the world that when they take those emblems, they're having to be extremely strong and extremely courageous. It's great to feel empowered. And when we feel strong, when we feel like we're doing something courageous, it gives us inner strength. A lot of people come along today and talk about self-actualization. And there's many, many positive things that come out of self-actualization, and I'm not against it. But it is misleading to believe that everything comes from within ourselves, because it doesn't. The ability to be strong and courageous comes from God in an extraordinary way so that we can do unique things for him in those situations. Can it be too much? Could you be too strong or too courageous? I think Samson was. He had this strength and he didn't seem to hold back. He was courageous, and so he was showing his courage in every situation. And sometimes he uses that a little too forcefully and a little too excessively. And I think in situations, many a times in parenting, we can have too much of that. Terry and I recently have been shopping for a tombstone, a headstone. And we were shopping the other day, and the lady was real friendly and having lots of conversations. And I said, I've heard a story about how these things are marked, how you actually do the engraving. And she said, yeah, what about it? And I said, well, I've heard that what you do is you put some liquid silicone or some silicone rubber in a thin sheet across this tombstone, and then you carve out the places where you want to leave a letter, and then you sandblast that. And I said, now that may be in the way they used to do it. She said, no, that's the way we do it still. We take this granite, it's the hardest, one of the hardest substances you could find, and there's this little bitty piece of flexible rubber that keeps that from that area from being damaged by the sandblaster. And it's incredible to me that these two things of incredible strength can be softened by that little bit of flexibility. And sometimes, even in our attempts to be strong and courageous, our courage can literally come from being just a little bit flexible. So how do you become strong and courageous? Let's look quickly back at that passage. If we start in Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 9, 7 through 9. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For I, the Lord your God, will be with you wherever you go. That's an awful lot to do with knowing God's will, studying God's word, focusing on that, and committing yourself to following that exactly as it's presented. Not the way I want to do it, the way God has presented it to me. If somebody came to you and said, for the new year, I'm going to make myself stronger. And if you said to a month later, how's that strength training going? Well, I've been thinking about it a lot. thinking about going to the gym, and you know, I've been thinking about eating less, and I've been thinking about going out there and doing some jogging. Are you any stronger? You know, I feel like I'm a little bit stronger. We'd go, no, you're deceiving yourself. You have to really do something. And we get the impression sometimes that what's being described here is purely mental. It isn't. It's a growth process. And the way we do things and the way we develop things and the way we repeat things, going through a process that makes us stronger and stronger. Let me share a couple more things and then I'm done. In 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 7, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him. For there is greater power with us than with him. Old Sennacherib from Assyria had come over into Israel. Hezekiah was the king. And he had sent a message that they were just going to basically take Israel out. Hezekiah stands up and says, no, not going to happen. Not going to happen. Be strong and courageous. Sennacherib writes some more and says, don't listen to your king. He's misleading you. He's going to tell you a bunch of things that aren't true. Let me share with you the last thing that he says. This is verse 15 of 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Sennacherib. Now do not let Hezekiah deceive you and mislead you like this. Do not believe him. For no god of any nation or kingdom has been able to deliver his people from my hand or the hand of my predecessors. How much less will your God deliver you from my hand? He's gone too far. He says, there's no God out there who can stand up to me. And Hezekiah says, hang on just a minute, guys. Stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. You're going to see strength. You're going to see things that you won't believe. And even though right now it looks like there's no chance that we can survive this, be strong and courageous. That's a hard thing to do. 1 John chapter 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. This is my last verse. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. God's power is already in us. It's just a question of allowing it to take full blossom, of allowing it to fully be what it can be. It's really a question of us getting out of the way and allowing God to do the things that he can do. Yeah, it'd be great if we were the great conqueror, but that's not always the case. I want to show you some pictures here at the end of a little bird. This is a bird, a killdeer bird, I believe is how you pronounce it. A small little bird, doesn't have a whole lot of weapons. So what weapon does it use when its young are threatened? Well, some of you know, it's going to use the broken wing trick. It's going to pretend to be damaged. When something's around the nest, then he goes away and it leaves the nest and does this broken, wounded bird act, hoping to lure the predator toward itself instead of the nest. Is that little bird strong and courageous? Absolutely. It's not this great, incredible power thing. It's this willingness to use what it has to serve and to fulfill its purpose. And that's what being strong and courageous is literally all about. It's something that we can do. We can put aside our fear and we can say to God, use me in the way that you want to and can, because Lord, I want to be strong and courageous for you. This morning we offer an invitation. If there's something that needs to be different in your life, if there's some way we can help you to create that transition, if there are things you need to know, if there are things you already know and you want to take action, we'd be glad to help you with that action. We just invite you to respond to God while we sing this song together.